this evening as we begin our study, we're looking in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. And we have this letter to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. And Jesus is giving this information to the Apostle John by revelation. And he's writing these letters to these seven churches of Asia. And in verse 20, at the close of this letter to the church of Laodicea, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, and I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." And what a beautiful statement that Jesus makes here. We want to focus specifically upon verse 21 where he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." There is a song in some of our songbooks. I don't believe it's in our songbook, but it is in other songbooks titled, "Who at the Door is Standing?" And it was written by Mary B. Slade and by Asa B. Everett in 1876. And perhaps you've recalled singing this song at certain times in worship. "Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing near? Entrance within, demanding? Whose is the voice I hear? All through the dark hours dreary, knocking again is he. Jesus, art thou not weary, waiting so long for me? Door of my heart, I hasten. Thee will I open wide. Though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide." Sweetly the tones are falling. Quote, "Open the door for me." End quote. "If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee." There's where the quotation ends, I should say. Well, this is a very beautiful song, and I know that many have sung it over time. And tonight, we just want to ask that question and talk about who at the door is standing. And so this evening, we're going to see that there's three people standing at the door. First of all, Jesus is standing at the door. Secondly, we'll see that the world is standing at the door. And then third, we'll see that you are standing at the door. Well, let's think about this question. Who at the door is standing? In reference to what Jesus says here in Revelation 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And let's think about these three things this evening. First of all, who at the door is standing? Jesus is standing at the door. Jesus stands at this door every single day. And he's merciful, and he waits for us to answer his call. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Jesus is merciful. Jesus is also patient. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." And Jesus is loving. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, "Walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor of a sweet smell." Now Jesus, the merciful one, Jesus, the patient one, Jesus, the loving one, is standing at the door. Now while Jesus stands at the door, he doesn't barge in. He knocks. He invites. He calls. But he doesn't barge in. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 28 and 30, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He invites. Jesus also reasons with us. We read in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, "But sanctify in your hearts Christ Jesus as Lord, being ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear." He reasons with us. He wants us to be ready to give an answer. And we should be ready to do that. Sanctify in your hearts Christ Jesus as Lord. Jesus invites. Jesus reasons. Jesus persuades. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, "Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men." But Jesus, out of all the things that he does, reasoning with us, inviting us, persuading us, Jesus will never force us. He will never make us do something. Jesus will never take us and compel us to do something against our own free will. You see, Jesus knocks at the door, and it is our choice whether to open the door and answer or not. And we may open the door or we may leave the door closed. The choice is up to us. But Jesus is standing at the door. But then secondly, who at the door is standing? We see that the world is standing at this door. A world that is in need of salvation. They're standing on the other side of Jesus, and they're there listening to his knock. But they listen to his knock sometimes through the efforts that we make to go out and to seek and to save the lost. In John 3 and verse 17 we read, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You see, that's what God wants. He wants the world to be saved. And they are saved through Jesus. Because only Jesus can satisfy those spiritual needs that each one has. He said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus uses his people then to knock on that door as we go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And so we as Jesus' people, Christians, have an opportunity to knock on behalf of Jesus. Jesus gives us that opportunity. In Revelation 3 and verse 8, he said to the church at Ephesus, Philadelphia. He said to the church at Philadelphia, he said, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." And so Jesus sets open doors before us and gives us the opportunity to take advantage of those doors. And we are expected to respond to those opportunities. In Colossians 4 and verse 3, Paul wrote, "With all praying for us also, that God would open a door of utterance to us to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Are we knocking, or are we standing idly by? You see, the world is standing at the door every day, and we can be knocking on Jesus' behalf. And they are waiting for us to present Jesus' words to them. Certainly, we must live in harmony with those words according to the will of God. All Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Thoroughly furnished. You see, God has given us everything that we need to go out and to help others to know his will. Will we knock? As Jesus knocks, we certainly need to take that inspired word of God and teach others. And so who is standing at the door? The world is standing at the door. But then finally, who is standing at the door? Jesus is standing at the door. The world is standing at the door. And you are standing at the door. Each one of us individually is standing at this door. Jesus on one side and we on the other. Jesus then calls and he knocks and he pleads with everyone on the other side of this door. He knocks for the sinner. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 32, he says, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He knocks for the unfaithful Christian. Revelation 3 and verse 19. "As many as I love," he says, "I reprove and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." He knocks for the faithful Christian. Revelation 2 and verse 10. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of life." And we hear the knocks of Jesus as God's word is presented to us each and every day. We hear those knocks through the lives of faithful Christians as they let their light so shine before men that they may see their good works and glorify their Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5 and verse 16. We hear the knocks of the one who is teaching Jesus' words. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25 says, "And as he reasoned of righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix was terrified and answered, 'Go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call thee unto me.'" But Jesus was knocking there through the words of the Apostle Paul. We hear the knocks of the Word in our own private study and devotion as we sit down and open God's Word on a daily basis and read and study that Word. "But what saith it? The Word is nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the Word of faith which we preach." Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. And the question that we must ask ourselves is this: how will we respond to those knocks? Will we open the door and accept Jesus into our life and continue to accept him as he continues to knock and as he continues to present the word that he has to present? Will we leave the door closed? Will we tell Jesus, as some do, to simply go away? And at some point, you know, we will stop hearing Jesus knock. Now that's an interesting thought. You know, you can get so used to a particular sound occurring that you don't hear it anymore. We used to have it's not called a grandfather clock, but I guess a mantle clock in our house when I was growing up as a kid. And I really enjoyed that old clock, and my mom and dad would wind it up, you know, every night before we go to bed. And it would sit there and tick all night long, tick, 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 you know, over and over again. And it was kind of soothing to us. Now, it might drive some of y'all crazy, I don't know. But it was kind of soothing to us kids, you know, because it was a regular, steady beat that you could hear. And some people, you know, they can't go to sleep unless the fan is on, unless there's some sound, some white noise sound that's going on in the room, you know, that helps kind of dull the senses a little bit. And after a while, and I found that, you know, that ticking of that clock, it was always there. But I found that after a while, I could ignore it and I wouldn't hear it anymore. And sometimes I didn't want to hear that clock tick when I was going to bed. And I could hear it, and it would keep me awake. But other times, I could just shut it out, and it wouldn't bother me, and I wouldn't hear it at all. We have that capacity. We have that ability to stop listening to something. And even though Jesus is still knocking, even though he's still calling, we have the ability to turn him off altogether if we want to. Now that's a scary situation to be in with the one who holds the key to eternal life. And we don't want to stop listening to Jesus knocking at the door. Who at the door is standing? Jesus is standing at the door. And He's knocking. And He is not going to barge in. But He's going to invite. He's going to reason. And He's going to persuade. Who at the door is standing? The world is standing at the door. And we as Christians have an opportunity to represent Jesus in knocking on that door and presenting the gospel to them. Who is standing, or who at the door is standing? You are standing at the door. And Jesus knocks every day. And how will we respond to His message of salvation? What is the plan of salvation that Jesus gave? He wants us to hear His word. He said as much when He was upon this earth. He said more often than not, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And so He taught us to hear. At the end of Matthew chapter 7, He said, He gave the parable of the men who built their house upon the sand. One built a house upon the sand and one built his house upon the rock. And He said that the one who built his house upon the rock is the one who hears My words and does them. So Jesus wants us to hear the message and do it. He wants us to believe. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Jesus wants to believe that He is the Son of God. "For except you believe that I am He," Jesus said, "you shall die in your sins." John chapter 8. Jesus wants us to believe. Jesus wants us to repent of our sins. "I am not come to call the righteous," He says, as we talked about earlier, "but sinners to repentance." He wants us to repent. Repentance is something that we need to do when sin comes within our life and we let that take control. It messes us up. And so we need to repent of our sins for our own good. He wants us to repent. He wants us to confess Him as Lord. Matthew chapter 10, He says, "Whosoever confesses Me before My Father who is in heaven, I will also confess him before My Father who is in heaven. Whosoever confesses Me before men, I will also confess him before My Father who is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny Me before men, I will also deny him before My Father who is in heaven." And so He wants us to confess. And Jesus wants us to be baptized. John chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Except you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." That being born of water is being baptized for the remission of sins. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20, "All authority has been given unto Me. Go you therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now this is Jesus' plan. And every single scripture that I just quoted to you this evening, it was Jesus that said it. Now should we not submit to the one who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me"? Yes. And so why not obey the plan of Jesus tonight to be saved if you're not a Christian? If you are a Christian, Jesus beckons you back. He stands at the door and knocks. And He says, "Come back to Me. I want you back." Why not respond this evening to the message of the gospel, to the knocking of Jesus at the door of your heart, while we stand and sing?